Okay, so now we're going to move forward with the presentation that is not research based, although I will report also on some research projects that were part of this initiative. So it's more a report of an initiative for integrating complementary alternative medicine in the Colombian healthcare system. So I will introduce myself. my name is Daniel. I am an MD with a clinical specialty on CAM. I was trained in Colombia for both medical school and CAM. I work as a physician for almost 5 years in Ghana in a refugee camp, where I also did some collaborative work with local CAM practitioners. During the past 4 years, I have been engaged in a pilot project that I'm going to present today for integrating CAM in the healthcare system in Colombia. Now I am enrolled in the RPH program at BU, interested in the integration of complementary and alternative medicine in healthcare systems. So just put the timer back. Okay, so basically this slide is just to show a symbol of the Colombian diversity. So now this is kind of the brand that the Colombian government is using to promote the country, to promote tourism in the country. But I thought it was a good way of showing a little bit of the diversity that Latin America in general and Colombia in particular is. So there is represented both the geographic diversity and also the biodiversity and the ethnic, multicultural and multi-ethnic diversity of the country. So this project I'm going to report today about got started in 2009 when the Bogota's health department agreed to sponsor a project entitled "The Promotion of Complementary and Alternative Medicine in the Primary Healthcare Framework in Bogota." So this is just a small section of the city. Bogota is a huge city, a huge metropolitan area with somewhere close to 8 million people, between 7 and 8 million people, with all the difficulties that entail in a developing country, like in many other Latin American cities. Many of those, the city alone hosts around 16% of the country's population. So just to give you some background about the healthcare system, so you understand a little bit how all this is framed. In 1993, the healthcare system changed a lot and moved from a state welfare sponsor system into an insurance-based system, but the particularity of the system is that the health reform made it compulsory for everyone to be affiliated to the healthcare system. So those who have a formal employment or who can pay their prime to the insurance companies, they pay it. And those who do not have employment or who cannot afford to pay the monthly contributions, then they apply for subsidized care from the government. Not all get it, but those are the two main mechanisms for being affiliated to the healthcare system. And then there's a new unified benefits package. Anyone who is affiliated to the healthcare system through these mechanisms is entitled to a unified benefits package, so of healthcare services. So a few words about public hospitals in Colombia. So they are state-owned, but after the healthcare reform, they stopped receiving direct funding from the government. So before they would receive all their budget, all their supplies and medications directly from the supply chain, the governmental supply chain. Then after 1993, they became sort of individual entities, but then they are still governmental. The difference now is that then now they have to bill for the services they provide and insurance companies. So as I was saying, the system is now an insurance-based system. Everyone has an insurance company, but then so hospitals, public hospitals now have to build services they provide, and they mainly provide services to people who need subsidized care, but then they build the insurance companies for those services. It's very tricky because then the government pays the insurance companies to affiliate those who cannot pay by themselves, and then the governmental hospitals have to build the insurance companies for the services. Well, so public hospitals have a very close relationship with local health departments. So they are part of the local networks for different municipalities. And Bogota, the city of Bogota, has a network of 22 public hospitals. And many of those hospitals have up to 50 or 60 health posts, service points. So it's a more than 300 service points network. All right, and they have been a long-lasting crisis due to all these reforms I have been speaking about. So this is a map of Bogota, a sketch of Bogota, and then you have in the left, you will see in the darker the blue color you will see is the total number of population where there is more population located. And in the right, you will see that the darker color, the higher the socioeconomic status. And then you will see the yellow squares, health resources, basically points of care and private practitioners all together. So you will see the correlations of where the health resources are located. They are mainly located along areas inside administrative areas that have a higher socioeconomic status. They do not correspond with the population with population density, population with population levels. And then basically the hospitals I'm going to speak about this project was the hospitals that participated in the pilot project of integrating CAM. They all were based, they are all located in the periphery of the city, serving mainly the underserved communities of Bogota. So a little bit about the context of CAM in Colombia. So there's a long history of CAM in Colombia. So basically, the local indigenous traditions have been there before colonization, the pre-Columbian times. But then now the Colombian legislation do not include traditional medicine as part of what it is called complementary and alternative medicine. There is a separate legislation, and they're viewed completely different somehow in relation to what we were speaking earlier. And they... When this project was being put together, then by definition, those practices were not contemplated. And regarding what we call CAM, so basically in Colombia, the Colombian legislation uses the same definition that the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine in the U.S. used to define what CAM is. So, as I was saying, it has been practiced there for quite a while. Homeopathy arrived in 1837. Acupuncture arrived in the 70s, along with neural therapy, which is a therapy that is not very well known here, but it was born in Europe and it's quite used there. And then in the 80s and 90s, there was quite an expansion of the number of practices and practitioners of different several CAM modalities in Colombia. So there's a quite an extensive legal framework for the practice of Colombia, but the country is quite restrictive in who can actually practice CAM. So basically, the legislation only allows healthcare practitioners, healthcare professionals, to practice CAM. So for any CAM modality, you have to either be a doctor, a nurse, or any other allied health professions. But the legislation is even more trickier in the sense that even other health professions are very limited in what they can do, and is basically a physician-centered, the legislation. So the overall goal of the program was to integrate non-conventional medical practices in the service portfolio of public hospitals in the city, as well as generate experience, evidence, and knowledge that could support the construction of public policies. And then also increasing access of CAM, irrespective of the individual's purchasing powers I was mentioning. So CAM in Colombia has been mainly practiced as in the realm of private practice. So this was basically the first time there were CAM in public hospitals, and people who access services, health services, through subsidized care were able to access it without having to pay out of pocket. So some of the specific objectives was to review the legislation and review the scientific evidence for CAM use for the most prevalent conditions in Bogota, identify previous experiences of integration of CAM in hospitals in Bogota. And this was very important, sensitize healthcare managers, hospitals administrators, and healthcare workers in CAM issues. Develop a knowledge base about CAM. Those are the participant hospitals that open CAM services that participated in the entire project. So, and these are the CAM modalities each hospital chose to use in their services. So each hospital was autonomous to decide which modality they were going to use. The hospital team, each hospital put together a team, and those were the modalities they chose to use in their services. So the project was, there was three phases of the project. It ran from 2009 to 2012. So the first phase was focused on doing an analysis of the legal context, because I mean, as this was a governmental entity putting together this project, it was quite a lot of talking before it could get started. So there was a review of that, the previous experiences, and also we review other models of integration of CAM in other healthcare systems in Latin America. Broad stakeholder consultations, like everyone was involved and consulted. Then the sensitization of managerial, administrative, clinical staff, hospital users, and we did some literature reviews, and then the creation of the task force at the health department level, and then within each hospital for the implementation. So then, as part of the design of the service for each hospital, there was we did a cost analysis for the service and the design of the CAM clinics, and then the licensing of the CAM services, which also was quite an effort, because there's very restrictive legislation in Colombia in order for obtaining licenses to open healthcare services and capacity building. So the second phase focused on two things, and the opening of the CAM services in each of the hospitals, and the development of research proposals and implementation of those research projects. This is the hospital I worked in, where this is the service point clinic where the CAM clinic was based. So, and the second phase focused on as I was saying, then each of the CAM clinics was opening a primary care level facility in each of those hospitals. As I say, each hospital has several service points. And then the practitioners of each of those services were physicians, and they had university level postgraduate training on camp. They were also responsible for administrative activities. The teams in the hospitals were relatively small, and so the physicians have also to take that on board. And one hospital have a very interesting model, Usaquén Hospital. They hire camp trainers who always would do a pre-consultation sensitization with patients. They would, like, would go over a presentation, would explain to the patients what camp was, what the camp modality the hospital was using, what to expect of the consultation, and do also, it was an interesting way that they did it. So, and as I say, then the health department required that each hospital put together a proposal and develop a research project along the implementation of the camp clinic. And I put research projects here in quotation marks, because it was quite a challenge, not only to design the projects, but to get them out the off the ground and rolling. Because, like, we're a bunch of practitioners and not really with any training in research. And although we try to partner with universities and universities that do camp training and that do research in camp, about camp, it was quite a challenge. It was not easy, the partnerships, it was not easy also within each of the hospitals. Hospitals administrators, they receive the budget from the health department, but then they will sometimes not use the budget, like, strictly for the research project, and they will divert funds to other hospital needs and so on. Part of it explained for what I was just speaking about at the beginning, the hospital crisis. So it's like, okay, we got some money, we get to use it in, like, where we need it. You see what you can do with, like, what you have. So these are the titles there, and they were basic research projects trying to characterize and understand the acceptability of those services among the communities that these hospitals were serving, basically. And then the third phase focused on financial sustainability of the camp services. This project, as I say, was sponsored by the health department, but then it was going to end, so we needed to, if we wanted to keep the services open, we needed to focus on how those services were going to keep self-sustained and build for the services they were providing to insurance companies or also the municipal government. So for that, we develop business plans, we develop management and quality indicators for the monitoring of the services, and develop a proposal along in that phase. Also, we develop a proposal for to introduce some changes to the camp practice regulation, like, you know, taking into consideration, like, the experience we went through for the licensing of the services and what we were experiencing during that time. We used that to develop that proposal. Okay, so then basically to end, this was the first systematic initiative to offer camp services within the healthcare system in Colombia. And although there were some previous experiences, some previous initiatives based particularly in pain clinics, those pain clinics, they started using CAM in the 80s and 90s, and with the healthcare reform, they all closed. Unfortunately, it was quite a challenge in the entire process of healthcare reform. So So, and these projects show that, and those basic research projects, we need to show that CAM is culturally relevant and widely accepted in the population that these that the public hospitals serve in Bogotá, and in Bogotá in general, but particularly those the population that these hospitals serve. And although there were some resistance from administrators and conventional clinicians, positive feedback from patients then started to facilitate the process along the way. So at the end, like, everyone was quite happy that the services were open and that, that they were able to refer their patients to the service. So, and Arsenio systematically assessed how integration could be scaled up to other sectors of the healthcare system in Colombia. And there's a need of increased availability of research methods training in CAM, as I was mentioning earlier. Through increased public pressure, health reform initiatives, and scientific evidence, CAM services will increasingly become more visible, available, and accessible in Colombia and elsewhere. And these pilot projects will probably serve in the years to come as a groundwork to continue the integration of those services in clinical care and public health interventions to work toward the creation of public policies on CAM in Colombia. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's take a few questions if you have some, and then we continue with our panel. Yes, so it was very interesting because towards the end of the project, CAM got included in the unified benefits package I was speaking about the beginning, about at the beginning. So that facilitated the creation of the business plans and the sustainability plans in the long term for those services. The challenge was was that insurance companies say, so it got included in the package, but then they say, like, okay, I mean, we do it if we want, but the issue is that for people then to access the services, they have to have a referral from the primary care providers. So it's not, I cannot go to the hospital and say, I want a CAM consultation. Because the way the system is structured, you have to go to your primary care practitioner, and then if the physician agrees, then it will give you a referral to the CAM service. And then once the physician gives you the referral, then you have to go to the insurance company and ask for an authorization code. And then if the insurance company authorizes it, then the patient will be able to access the service, and then the hospital will be reimbursed. But then that step in the middle there of whether the insurance company authorizes or not becomes the tricky issue, and then it's still happening. It's an erratic process often, like they may or may not authorize it. It depends on many factors, but. Yes, I mean, public pressure is definitely important and needed. A challenge is also civil society organization, which is quite different in different places, and how people is willing to participate, or how people is informed enough of what the participation mechanisms are to mount that public pressure is definitely also a challenge. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that we all need to work more about. I mean, particularly in countries where the civil society is not as forthcoming with mounting pressure on what the communities need. Now, there's some medical schools that are governmental, and most of them are either free or very low cost. But there's also many private schools. So I mean, the competition to get into medical schools, public medical schools, is quite a challenge. I mean, people will compete for 5,000, 6,000 people will apply to only 100 places each year. I mean, I'm giving an example of my school. I know the numbers, but just to give a sense of how it is. And then if you cannot enter, then you have to either go to a private school if you can afford it, or then try something else. I mean, either go or seek other professions.
So is the CAM education included in that option, or is that
post? No, it's post. They are conceived as post graduate trainings. So, and right now there's only 3 schools that offer, there's 46 medical schools in Colombia, almost getting to 50, and only 3 schools offer postgraduate CAM training. Some schools are already starting to include elective courses within their curriculum. None have required courses. But you mean for the money that was built, or what the project, what the health department gave for the project, or where is?
So, if you were trying to make it sustainable, what percentage of total hospital services came from CAM, and versus all the other traditions,
like allopathic? Yeah. So the CAM, compared to the conventional services, the CAM clinics serve a very small number of people. I mean, in the unit that I show you, I mean, there were at least 12, 13 general practitioners in conventional medicine and only 1 CAM practitioner. So the proportion is very small in terms of sustainability. So when we're speaking about sustainability, the sustainability of the service. So is so that hospitals administrators can basically pay the needs of the services, the practitioner and the suppliers and the supplies out of what they can recoup from the billing for the CAM services, instead of having to take money from other sources to subsidize the service. So what we were focused on is that those services, those CAM services, can self-finance basically within the hospital. No, they bill. So those hospitals, they bill for all services they provide to the vulnerable and low income population. They bill for them, and insurance companies have to pay them because so people have the subsidized care. So they bill the insurance companies of the people who have subsidized care, and for those who are definitely uninsured, they bill the local health department. But they cannot always get the money that they want. I mean, it's the billing process. Just this week, in the news, it was that 13 of those hospitals were going for a fiscal reform because of the problems of sustainability at larger scale. It's a huge problem for the entire health system.